it also just gives us a sense of identity, really, because that's really what culture does. It gives you a sense of identity to learn from your past and just get to appreciate also what you have and maybe take some of what they had and implement it in some ways that we can now. Please remember that the views expressed in this podcast do not represent the views of the Organization of American States, its Secretary General, or its member states. Keep listening to learn more about this episode.
Welcome to The Zone, a podcast that serves as a platform for dialogue on international topics with a local perspective. Presented by the Spanish Agency for International Development Corporation, in collaboration with the Organization of American States.
So today we'll be discussing the importance of natural heritage sites and why it's crucial to preserve them for our future generations.
Yes, Azar, that's so great. The natural heritage sites are not only essential for the environment and biodiversity, but also provides economic benefits and cultural significance to many communities around the world. You will hear the term adjacency line or adjacency zone throughout this podcast. This is an image to help you understand what we are talking about. The adjacency line runs from north to south, passing through three reference marks between two countries, Belize and Guatemala, and the adjacency zone extends 1 kilometer east and to the west of the line. This year is very important for us to be able to learn how to protect and conserve these natural and cultural heritage sites. Many people are visiting our countries, and we have to protect these sites so that future generations will be able to see and enjoy them.
We have to find ways to improve this issue, look for better ideas, and see how to involve children, and also collaborate with institutions that preserve the jungles and forests.
How about we start off by defining what natural heritage sites are and how they differ from cultural heritage sites?
Sure thing. So a natural heritage site is an area of natural importance recognized by international bodies such as UNESCO because of their importance to humanity. These sites include natural landscape, geological formations, wildlife habitats, and other areas of ecological and scientific insignificance. The designation of a site as a natural heritage site serves to raise awareness of its importance and to promote the preservation for future generations.
In contrast, cultural heritage sites are of importance that are recognized for their cultural values. These sites may include historic buildings, monuments, archaeological sites, or other areas of cultural significance. The designation of a site as a cultural heritage site serves to raise awareness of its importance and to promote its preservation for future generations.
Thanks so much for explaining that as well, Hannah. So overall, both natural and cultural heritage sites are important for preserving the diversity and richness of the world's heritage. So by recognizing and preserving these sites, we can ensure that future generations can continue to appreciate and learn from them and the world's natural and cultural treasures.
To add one more definition to that, I think we must all know in relation to this topic is that it is a protected area, which is an area that is designated for the protection and conservation of natural resources and the biodiversity, such as national parks or wildlife sanctuaries. Let's dive into the environmental benefits first. Natural heritage sites are home to a vast array of flora and fauna. These ecosystems are essential in maintaining the balance of our planet's climate, air, and water quality. Without these natural habitats, many species of plants and animals would go extinct, causing a significant ripple effect throughout the ecosystem.
I agree. And not only that, but many of these natural heritage sites are also significant sources of income for these communities. Tourism, for example, in these areas often generates substantial revenue and employment opportunities for the people living nearby. And additionally, preserving these sites helps us maintain the cultural heritage of these indigenous communities and helps maintain the cultural heritage of indigenous communities that have relied on these lands for centuries.
That's absolutely right. And now that you mentioned the connection of these sites would have with people, in many cases, rural communities are the custodians of these natural heritage sites, and they have been for generations. They have an intimate understanding of the land, the wildlife, and the ecosystem that make these sites so unique.
Yeah, absolutely. And because of these, they are often the best equipped to protect them as well. So by involving these communities in the management and preservation of natural heritage sites, we can ensure that they're being safeguarded in the ways that are sustainable and equitable.
Yeah, so Azar, what are some of the ways that rural communities can help safeguard natural heritage sites near the adjacency zone of Belize and Guatemala?
That's a great question. So one way is through community-based conservation initiatives. So by involving local communities in the development and implementation of these conservation strategies, we ensure that their voices are being heard and that their needs are taken into consideration. So this can include things like ecotourism, sustainable agricultural practices, and natural resource management.
Why is this so important to involve these communities in conservation efforts?
All right, so there are several reasons. First, these communities often have deep understanding with the local environment and the challenges they face. So by involving them in this conservation efforts, we can tap into knowledge and ensure that our strategies are effective.
Is there anything else that you'd want to offer?
So another reason would be that these communities often have a stake in the preservation of the natural heritage sites. So many of these communities rely on their sites for their livelihoods, for their spiritual and cultural reasons, and simply because they love the land. And by involving them in these conservation efforts, we can ensure that their interests are taken into account and that they have a sense of ownership over their land.
So what are some of the specific examples of how rural communities are safeguarding natural heritage sites in these regions?
So one great example I could think of is the Chiquibó Forest Reserve in Belize. So this area is home to several natural heritage sites, one of them including the Caracol Archaeological Reserve. So local communities there have been involved in a range of conservation initiatives, including the development of ecotourism programs and the implementation of sustainable agriculture practices. So do you know any about Guatemala?
In Guatemala, there are many examples of community-based conservation initiatives, such as the Maya Biosphere Reserve. This area is home to several natural heritage sites, including the Tikal National Park. Local communities have been involved in various initiatives here, including natural resource management and the development of sustainable livelihoods.
Hey, that's great to hear. I love what they're doing over there. And it's all only like really inspiring to see how rural communities are playing such an important role in the safeguarding of these natural heritage sites.
And it's also important to remember that these communities are often the ones who stand to benefit the most from conservation efforts. By involving them in the process, we can ensure that the natural heritage sites are being preserved in a way that is sustainable, equitable, and just.
Right. And I think just to comment a little bit more on the comments that we've made, I think it's us working along with these communities is really important as well. So like we mentioned before, no one knows these areas of the environment like the people who have lived there for their entire lives. You know, I've met people who know the back of the rainforest, like the back of their hands. You know, they know where some specific animals live. They know the trees where some of these animals could be found. And I think through working with them, those are the best ways to make sure that our strategies to protect these places are the most effective as possible, the most effective as they possibly can be.
It's also important that we involve them in this type of dialogue because they know their rainforests or these protected areas more than anyone else.
Yeah, and I agree. And plus, like we also said, this is their livelihood. This is how people are, you know, sending their kids to school, how they're getting food on their tables. So I think it's also really important with whichever efforts that we come up with, it's always important to ensure that it's also in their best interest as well. We don't want to walk into these people's backyards and be like, this is what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, great. I really appreciate you sharing that because it's good for our viewers and our audience to really hear that. And Azar, I have an idea. How about we give our listeners a virtual tour of the top 10 natural heritage sites of Belize and Guatemala?
That's a great idea. And I think the best way we can be inspired is to visit these beautiful locations in person. So let's go ahead and start off with Tikal National Park in Guatemala. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Tikal is one of the largest and most impressive Maya ruins in the world. It is located in the heart of the Guatemalan jungle and is surrounded by lush vegetation and wildlife.
Coxcomb Basin Wildlife Sanctuary, Belize. This protected area in southern Belize is home to jaguars, pumas, ocelots, and other big cats. It also features waterfalls, hiking trails, and incredible views of the Mayan mountains. I recently did a hike at in Victoria Peak.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and what we were talking about earlier, just that these people know their areas in and out of these jungle. Our tour guide, Mr. Benedicto, was so great because he has been doing this for over 10 years, this specific hike. And it was just so profound how he knew his environment so well that there were a lot of different animals where we had to be very cautious and careful. One of them were peccaries, which is the wild pigs. And on our hike throughout that journey, we saw like a family of them. And it was so important how he very much was paying very keen attention to the sound, to the walks, to all that. So we were very much felt safe because he was looking out for those kinds of stuff. And it just makes me appreciate life even more because for us living in our day-to-day lives, we're not as cautious about those type certain things or like the sounds and noises. But because he's so familiar with this jungle and with Coxcomb Basin, he's very familiar with the sounds and all that. So I just think it's important to highlight that in terms of how people feel in their pretty much backyard, like you mentioned.
That connection is pretty cool because, you know, it's, yeah, it is something that people who like live in like more like, you know, in like these bigger like towns or cities wouldn't know a single thing about how these animals behave, where to find them. Like if I came across like a family of peccaries, I wouldn't know what to do either, you know? So he's definitely somebody you want taking you up to Victoria Peak for sure. And I think we have to really like, give a round of applause for these people who have been doing this for so long and who are who enable us to get to have these amazing experiences and these connections with nature as well.
And just one more thing, it was just interesting to see like the different paws and like from the jaguars and stuff like that. We might not have seen them, but we know they're around just based on the different smells and the different things that we saw on the hike.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, and definitely one of those. I want to do that someday too. I think it's really cool that you did that. Congratulations on doing that. And I definitely think that it's something we should encourage more people to go out and be out in, because you just immerse yourself in that sort of environment, because I think it's an experience that not many of us get really.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Another example would be the Rio Dulce in Guatemala. So this scenic river runs from Lake Isabel to the Caribbean Sea, and it's surrounded by lush rainforests and towering cliffs. Visitors can take a boat tour to see wildlife and natural landmarks like El Boquerón Canyon.
Caracol Archaeological Reserve. This is located in Belize and is an ancient Mayan city that is located deep in the Chicabul Forest Reserve and features impressive temples, plazas, and ball courts. It also offers stunning views of the surrounding jungle.
Okay, so another cool thing is I have a lot of friends who work with the environment and natural resource management. And what's cool is I get to hear about all their stories over there in the Caracol area. One of the coolest stories I have is about them putting out fires, you know. And you know, fires can be something that are caused by people as well. So what's really cool is that they get to be guided by these locals who know the areas best and who are able to keep them safe while also helping put out these fires as well. So I think that's another just example for you of how we have to work hand in hand with these people who know these, who are very connected with all of these natural heritage sites.
Correct. And it's also good to know that the tour guides are qualified to visit these areas. It's important that we go with them because they know the areas more than anything else. Yeah. Sometimes it's easy to say that, oh, I don't need a tour guide because I could take myself through this adventure. But these tour guides are very qualified and they know the ins and outs of these protected areas, that it's important that we trust them and know that they're guiding us through the right paths.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think tour guides are also very important because without one, you're going through these amazing scenic areas, but you don't really know the history to them. Mm-hmm. So that's another cool service that tour guides provide. They give you the backstory of everything, which I think is just a way to really appreciate what you're looking at even more.
Correct. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
All right. So another example we have is the Pacaya volcano in Guatemala. So this is an active volcano. It's a very popular hiking destination, and it offers a breathtaking view of the surrounding landscape. Visitors can see lava flows, steam vents, and other volcanic activity up close.
This is so incredible because I recently visited this volcano in Guatemala.
No way. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this was that we had such an amazing guide.
Okay.
He shared a lot of different stories throughout this adventure that we did. And two of the things that really stood out to me was that he showed us two different plants. One of them was a plant that they use to make wax candles. So it's like the little pieces of the leaf that create the wax.
That's cool.
And he shared with us that during COVID, his family really found this plant so that they could create candles and they could light.
That's so cool. And it grows in volcanic soil?
Yes, it does. Wow. So that was one of them. And then he also shared, I don't remember what was the name of the plant that he shared with us, but it was interesting because he cut it, like, when he broke the plant, you could have drank the water and it was like fresh water that was in the plant.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was fun to see that because it just shows you how nature and the environment plays a big role in how we could live, right? It's like they didn't really have much, but they had a lot of...
They relied on the flora, yeah.
Correct, right? Cool. The flora. So it was really cool to see. And also, like, just hiking up at the top, you could see there was some specific rocks that you break them and they had crystals inside. So there's like specific little things that you go on this hike and this adventure that was just incredible, and how they use the natural resources to create things for the experience. One of the other things that was interesting was that at the top of the volcano, there was this guy making pizza, and through the rocks that were already there. So it was just a fun experience to be able to witness that and see that how people could get really creative in these types of environments.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I definitely, and just going back to what we said, knowing about these plants and knowing about these rocks, it's probably something most people wouldn't know of when hiking up that volcano unless they came, they spoke to somebody who is an expert and who knows this land like they do.
Correct, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you or I were there alone, we had no clue. We would just be walking.
Yeah, that's a cool plant. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't know to look for that plant for fresh water, which
correct.
Is... So you see, it's very important to, you know, involve everybody who knows these natural heritage sites.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The next one is Aktun Tonechil Moknal, better known as ATM Cave. It's located in the Tapir Mountain Reserve in Belize and is home to ancient Mayan artifacts and human remains. Visitors can explore the cave's many chambers and marvel at its crystal formations.
That's pretty cool. I've actually never been there before, but I didn't know that it was home to so much of these artifacts and cool crystals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a beautiful adventure and it's very unique. I don't think you could find this anywhere else in the world. So it's really a place or a destination for visitors to come to experience that, and also to be able to hike inside of this incredible cave that we have in Belize.
That's pretty cool. And then you mentioned there was also like remains of like pottery and stuff. I also think that going to see these places and seeing, you know, what ancient societies had like their different like tools and artifacts is really important, because it also just gives us a sense of identity, really, because that's really what culture does. It gives you a sense of identity to learn from your past and just get to appreciate also what you have, and maybe take some of what they had and implement it in some ways that we can now. Because think about it, like pottery, you know, just pottery, that's like a very ecological way to like have your dishes, really, like in terms of us today using, like, you know, single-use plastics and stuff like that, you know. So it's great to see how they worked with the environment in mind.
Yeah, it's really good to see that, and also how they preserve this for so many years, because these are really, like, handmade stuff that was from years ago. And just being able to see how the preservation in there has lasted over all these years, it's because of being protected and the conservation that is provided to these artifacts that are in this cave particularly. So I think it's a good lesson for us to learn, and how can we use that moving forward for future generations to be able to really
come to appreciate it as well.
Definitely. Correct. Yeah.
So another example we have is a Samuk Champe in Guatemala. This natural wonder features a series of cascading pools, turquoise waters, and lush jungle scenery. Visitors can swim, hike, and relax in these stunning natural settings.
The next one is Lamanai Archaeological Reserve, Located in Belize, this ancient Maya site is on the banks of the New River Lagoon and features impressive temples, plazas, and ball courts. It also offers opportunities to see wildlife like crocodiles and howler monkeys.
I've actually been here before. I went there on a school trip. Yes, I've been around in Belize. So I definitely think this is one of my favorite archaeological sites in Belize because it's really a hike. I think I don't know if this is correct, but it's definitely one of the tallest archaeological sites I've ever hiked up, which is pretty cool. And the view from there is stunning and amazing because you get to see, it's just at the top of the main temple there. You get to see all the luscious jungle, and then right next to it, you get to see the gorgeous lagoon, which is pretty cool. And on my class trip, I'll never forget it because we did actually get to see a fair amount of wildlife. We got to see the howler monkeys. We got to see crocodiles on the side of the lagoon, which is pretty cool. And, it's a great way to just acknowledge, the wildlife that also lives there. It's a great archaeological site that I think is very in touch with their wildlife. And I love that schools and, children of that age are able to really come in and see, oh, this is pretty cool. This is something that we have here in our backyards. And I'm proud to say that this is something that I want to preserve and hold close for future generations.
Yeah, right. It's good that field trips are done at this specific location because Lamanai is such a beautiful area. And just getting there is such an adventure for everyone that gets to visit. So I'm glad to hear that you've experienced that. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a great journey. So another example we have is Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. So this beautiful lake is surrounded by three towering volcanoes and numerous charming Maya villages. Visitors can swim, kayak, and hike in this idealistic natural setting.
This is one of the most beautiful places in Guatemala, just because the lake is so beautiful and you get to really see the views. And like it said, right, you get to swim, you get to kayak, you get to really go on boats to travel at the different little places that they have there. So I love to see that this is on the list too.
I think places like these are just a great way to really step back and disconnect, really just be in a brand new element and really just appreciate your surroundings. And I think that's something we really need to do more.
Yeah, right. To just be able to disconnect from the world that we live in and our day-to-day lives and just be able to reflect, pause, and see what life has to offer us, right? Because being in the mundane of life, sometimes we forget to appreciate even the smallest of things, but we shouldn't get to forget that.
And I think that some of my fondest memories, some of my clearest memories are me at these locations, in Belize, at these archaeological reserves or at these natural heritage sites, because you really aren't picking up your phone. You're just being there in the element. And like you said, you could get swept up in life so much times. So I think it's a great way to just step back and really this is where I'm at and this is amazing. So yeah, definitely lots of core memories made at these locations.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And just to highlight what you said is just sometimes we think that these things are we're going to forget them in our lives, but it imprints in our hearts really profoundly. And just being able to experience that from a young age makes us get to appreciate these things more because we're getting to see them in real life, not just in pictures or in stories. The next one that we have is the Holchan Marine Reserve. This is located in Belize, and the marine reserve features vibrant coral reefs, sea turtles, and a variety of tropical fish. Visitors can snorkel or dive to see the incredible underwater world of the Caribbean Sea. Getting to see the sea turtles and all the natural resources that we have underneath the water is one of the most beautiful experiences that I would recommend visitors, locals, anyone to really go and see, because it's an experience of a lifetime.
I totally 100% agree. I did this a few months ago and it was my first time ever seeing a sea turtle in real life. And I was like a complete 5-year-old about it. I was over the moon. I was freaking out. I was just losing my mind because I had never ever seen a sea turtle in real life before. So it was an amazing experience. So something else that I just will never ever forget in my lifetime. And we went with amazing guides who were able to tell us, oh, this is what this fish is, and this is what this coral is. And he was actually going way to the bottom because, you know, it's pretty deep. It's a coral reef. And, you know, it really gives you a sense of responsibility because you get to learn about, hey, this is, these are like the plants and animals in my country. And I know a little bit more about them now. So I also have a sense of responsibility to take care of them as well, because this is who I am. This is a part of my heritage, you know, and it's definitely one of the best experiences, like you said, that Belize has to offer. And if anybody ever gets a chance to do that, I would 1000% recommend it.
Yeah, right, because it's an experience that nobody could ever take away from you. So what are some of the innovative ways to educate kids about the importance of preserving natural heritage sites?
Great question. So there are actually many ways. So for instance, you can use a gamification to make learning fun and engaging. So you can create interactive games and quizzes that really challenge kids to identify natural heritage sites and explain their significance. So also you can also use a virtual reality to create immersive experiences that allow kids to explore natural heritage sites and learn more about their history and ecology. And another great way I might add is the idea to organize field trips to natural heritage sites where kids can experience natural heritage sites firsthand and learn from the experts themselves.
Those are excellent ideas and very much what we talked about earlier, right? Getting to explore that from a really young age. Do you have any other suggestions?
So you can also use storytelling as an art to educate kids. For example, you can ask kids to write stories and draw pictures that depict natural heritage sites and explain their importance. You can also encourage kids to create videos or podcasts that promote the conservation of natural heritage sites as well. And finally, you can also use social media to create awareness campaigns and encourage kids to share their experiences and ideas with their peers. So I like this last idea as well, just as much as actually getting kids out there in person, like field trips. I like the idea of using social media campaigns. I think one of the things my old high school used to do was whenever they had, you know, a cause that was really important to their heart, this was in more in recent years, towards my graduation period, they would actually ask you to go out and make a short video about this cause and post it up on Facebook and share it around. You know, so they would also even make a little game out of it. Like the group's video with the most likes and shares, you know, gets like a little token of appreciation, you know, which, you know, isn't the goal, but like, it's also a great way just to share around all this
information. It's also important to note that the Organization of American States also has something very similar, and the book is called Friends Are Good Neighbors. Good neighbors make a difference. This book is not just a heartwarming tale about friendships between two neighboring communities in Belize and Guatemala. It also emphasizes the importance of preserving the natural resources that these communities share and depend on.
So in addition to these restrictions, the book also highlights animals that call the adjacency zone their home. So these animals include jaguars, howler monkeys, scarlet macaws, and among others. By protecting their habitat, we can ensure that these creatures continue to thrive and contribute to the biodiversity in the region.
And overall, this children's book serves as a reminder that we are all interconnected and that the choices that we make have a significant impact in the world around us. In following the guidelines outlined in the book and working together as good neighbors, we can create a sustainable future for ourselves and generations to come.
So regarding the land, we understand that the adjacency line is long. This could result in cultivation of different agricultural products in areas that are considered protected reserves. So it's good to inform each other as well as other people residing near these rural communities to create more awareness and more peace for both countries, Belize and Guatemala.
And one of the key takeaways from this book that we mentioned previously is on the list of things that are not allowed in adjacency zone. For example, cutting down trees is strictly prohibited as it could lead to deforestation and habitat destruction for the animals that live in this area. The book also emphasized the importance of clean rivers, which are essential for both human and animal life, and outlines the guidelines for how to protect them.
I think that's pretty cool and definitely a positive message for young readers to be able to explore this topic at such a young age, because they're able to connect and not only with people from their country, but also from all neighboring countries.
It is important to mention that the protection of these sites is not easy, especially after the pandemic, since they are at risk and face great challenges. Natural heritage sites are under threat from a range of factors. These include climate change, deforestation, overfishing, and pollution. If we don't take action to protect these sites, we risk losing them forever.
Yeah, exactly. And however, natural heritage sites are under a threat from a range of different factors as well. So these could include climate change, deforestation, overfishing, and pollution.
Absolutely right. Climate change is affecting these sites in many ways, from rising temperature to changing weather patterns.
So one of the most important things that we could do is actually raise awareness of these issues with content like what we're doing today, by educating people about the threats that natural heritage sites face today.
And that's why we need to educate people on the critical role these ecosystems play in our lives and how we can help to protect them. Street arts and murals can also serve as a way to educate people about the importance of protecting the environment. They can showcase the local wildlife, plants, and ecosystem and help people understand why it's so crucial to preserve them for future generations.
And also, it's not just about creating new murals either. I've heard of initiatives where they're actually restoring old, faded murals and giving them a new lease on life. That's a great way to honor the history and the culture of these areas, while also raising awareness about the environmental issues as well.
Yes, and it's not just about murals either. I've seen some really creative street art installations that are used recycled materials to create sculptures and other artworks. It's also a great way to promote sustainability and an environmental consciousness.
Yeah, and then I think another great thing is that this doesn't have to be limited to like big cities. Even smaller towns and villages can benefit from these initiatives. They can use street art and murals to showcase their unique cultural heritage and natural beauty, and even attract visitors who are looking for a more authentic, off-the-beat path experiences.
Yeah, so it seems that these street arts and murals can really be a powerful tool for promoting sustainable tourism and protecting our natural heritage. I can't wait to see more of these initiatives popping up worldwide.
We can also support the organizations that work to protect these sites by lobbying our government and prioritizing conservation efforts.
Yes, and it's crucial to involve local communities in conservation efforts. Indigenous communities in particular have a wealth of knowledge about these ecosystems that have been invaluable to conservation efforts.
Absolutely. And like we mentioned before, by involving these communities in the conservation efforts, we can ensure that their livelihoods and their cultural heritage are preserved.
Yeah. And just like we saw in that video, like about Guatemala, like I also want to highlight that in Belize, it's also being done. There's a organization called Locally Belize that does this kind of work, and they just do murals around small towns, right? Like you said, it doesn't have to be in big cities, but it's beautiful. And it's also bringing back history in these murals where there's different little sites and locations.
I think that's pretty cool. And I think everybody really can come to appreciate art, like you, especially tourists, when they come and visit, like, oh, that's such a cool mural right there. Let me grab like an Instagram shot with that, you know? And then, you know, murals that really send a message are a great way to just like promote these over social media, I guess. And I love what Locally Belize is doing. I think they're really contributing to the effort of keeping culture alive.
And before concluding with today's episode, we would like to play the audio received by a local tour guide from Belize that is creating awareness of Belize's natural resources by organizing hike for youths.
It's very important for us to understand our resources, the flora and fauna that we share between both countries, and we have to learn how to live with them. We have to learn how to actually coexist, right, as people from different countries, but yet being the same species known as humans. We have to learn how to protect what we have in order that these animals that we share the wildlife with, that they're ensured a home in the future.
So there you have it. Natural heritage sites are critical to our environment, economy, and cultural heritage. We must take action now to protect these sites for future generations to come.
And remember, it's all up to us to do our part in preserving these sites. Let's take action to reduce our impact on the environment and support organizations and initiatives that work to protect these natural heritage sites. So these initiatives will serve as an inspiration to young people who perhaps have a plan in mind and start something, but then no longer continue.
This brings us to the end of this podcast episode, The Zone. Many thanks to the Spanish Agency for International Development Corporation and the Organization of American States for the space for safe dialogue between young people from Guatemala and Belize.
And thank you so much for listening to our podcast and preserving natural heritage sites. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions on future topics.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.